Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a topic that's generating quite a bit of buzz in health circles, tirzepatide.
That's right.
You might be hearing about it, maybe seeing headlines, and today we want to sort of cut through the noise and really get into what makes it significant for metabolic health and, well, weight management.
Exactly. There's a lot of excitement around tirzepatide, and honestly, for good reason.
Right.
So in this deep dive, our aim is really to unpack the core science, look at the benefits people are seeing in trials, which are quite compelling.
Okay.
Touch on what you need to know about potential side effects, definitely important, and maybe even why it's, you know, popping up in broader health discussions.
Okay, let's start with the basics then. We hear the name tirzepatide. In simple terms, maybe, what is it actually doing in the body?
Okay, so think of tirzepatide as a clever medication. It basically mimics the effects of two natural hormones your body releases right after you eat.
After eating, okay.
Yeah, and these hormones help manage blood sugar and weight. They're called glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide, GIP for short, and glucagon-like peptide 1 or GLP-1.
Right. Heard of GLP-1.
Yeah, GLP-1 is more familiar. So the technical term, if you want it, is that tirzepatide is a first-in-class dual GIP and GLP-1 receptor agonist.
Wow. GIP and GLP-1, those are definitely a mouthful. What exactly do these hormones, these incretin hormones you mentioned, what do they do after we eat?
Right, they're incretins. And their job is actually quite multifaceted. Mm. They help regulate your blood sugar, mainly by prompting your pancreas to release insulin.
Okay.
And also by telling it to ease up on producing glucagon, which raises blood sugar.
So a two-pronged effect on blood sugar right there.
Exactly. And they also slow down how quickly food leaves your stomach.
Ah, so that contributes to feeling full.
Precisely. That feeling of satiety. And they seem to directly influence appetite signals in the brain, too.
So it's hitting several key areas involved in metabolism, not just one thing. It sounds like a really targeted approach.
It is. Tirzepatide essentially amplifies these natural bodily processes. It acts on the same receptors these hormones use.
Right.
But it does so in a way that's more sustained, more powerful, because it engages both the GIP and the GLP-1 pathways.
Both at once.
Yes. And that dual mechanism is really the key here. It allows for potentially, you know, synergistic effects. Better glucose regulation, and better appetite control, something we haven't quite seen as effectively with therapies targeting just one pathway.
How is this dual action hitting both really a step forward compared to what we've had before? What's the evolution here?
Well, if you look at the bigger picture, treating type 2 diabetes and obesity, most earlier medications in this class, they typically focused on a single target, often just GLP-1.
Okay.
Tirzepatide's ability to engage both GIP and GLP-1, that really represents an exciting evolution. It suggests we might be able to get more comprehensive benefits.
Like better blood sugar control and more weight loss together.
Potentially, yes. Better results through this combined action. It definitely raises interesting questions for, you know, ongoing research about how exactly these two pathways work together when stimulated like this.
Right. So, okay, before it became widely available, what did the initial research, the sort of pre-market trials, what did they show? What was the promise there?
Yeah, the pre-trial data was very encouraging. You had the SURPASS program that was a series of really pivotal phase 3 clinical trials.
Okay, SURPASS.
Yep. And they were specifically designed to evaluate tirzepatide in adults who were living with type 2 diabetes.
And who were they comparing it against? Placebo. Other drugs?
Both. In these trials, tirzepatide went head-to-head with placebo, but also with other well-established diabetes medications, including semaglutide.
Okay. Many people know that one.
Exactly. Another GLP-1 receptor agonist. So a relevant comparison.
And the findings, were they just like slightly better, or did tirzepatide really stand out?
Oh, the results definitely put tirzepatide in a leading position. It consistently shows superior reductions in HbA1c.
Which is that long-term blood sugar measure, right?
Yeah, exactly. It gives you that average picture over a few months. And compared directly to the other treatments in those studies, the drops in HbA1c with tirzepatide were quite significant. In some trials, a really notable proportion of participants actually got their HbA1c below 5.7%, which is considered the non-diabetic range.
Wow.
Okay.
That's impressive for blood sugar management. Now, you mentioned weight loss earlier. Did these diabetes trials show benefits there too?
Absolutely. That was a huge secondary finding across the SURPASS trials. Participants taking tirzepatide experienced substantial and, importantly, dose-dependent weight loss.
Dose-dependent, meaning more drug, led to more weight loss.
Generally, yes. And this weight reduction was often significantly greater than what they saw with the other diabetes medications in the comparison groups. was kind of fascinating is how impactful this was, even though it was technically a secondary benefit in trials primarily focused on blood sugar.
So the weight loss was almost like a really positive side effect in those early diabetes trials.
You could sort of see it that way initially, yes. But this observation, the strong signal, naturally led to dedicated clinical trials focusing specifically on weight management.
Ah, okay.
And that brings us to the SURMOUNT program. These trials looked at adults who had obesity or were overweight and also had at least one weight-related health issue, but didn't necessarily have diabetes.
And this is where we saw those really headline-grabbing weight loss numbers.
Right? Exactly. The SURMOUNT 1 trial, the first big one, delivered truly remarkable results. Mm. Participants on the highest tested dose of tirzepatide lost, on average, around 15 to 20% of their initial body weight.
15 to 20%. That's substantial.
It really is. I mean, that's a level of weight loss we historically only really associated with bariatric surgery, not medication.
Yeah.
This could genuinely change the landscape for treating obesity. And I think that figure will be surprising, maybe even an aha moment for many listeners who know how tough significant weight loss can be.
15 to 20% average loss, that's potentially life-changing for a lot of people. And I assume the research didn't just stop with SURMOUNT 1.
No, absolutely not. Subsequent trials within the SURMOUNT program have continued to back this up. They consistently show significant weight loss. And importantly, they also show improvements in various cardiometabolic risk factors, things like blood pressure, lipids, inflammation markers.
So a broader positive impact on health.
Yes, exactly. This growing body of evidence really underscores the potential here, addressing both weight and overall metabolic health together.
So if we kind of zoom out for a second, the main takeaway from all this pre-market data from SURPASS and SURROUT is that tirzepatide shows really strong effectiveness for both blood sugar and significant weight loss.
That's a very accurate summary, yes. There's a robust body of evidence now from these big trial programs, strongly supporting its role in, well, improving glycemic control and achieving substantial weight reduction.
Okay, so the potential benefits sound, well, pretty significant. But like with any powerful medication, it's really important we talk about the other side of the coin. Let's dig into the potential side effects associated with tirzepatide.
Absolutely. That's a crucial part of the conversation.
Yeah.
It's essential for anyone considering this, or really any medication, to be fully aware of potential adverse effects.
Right.
And the most common ones reported in the clinical trials with tirzepatide were gastrointestinal issues.
GI stuff. So things affecting your stomach, digestion, like nausea, that kind of thing.
Precisely. Nausea was quite common, along with vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes constipation, and abdominal pain. Those were the most frequently reported.
Okay. How severe were they, typically?
The good news, generally, is that they were described mostly as mild to moderate in severity.
Okay.
And often transient, meaning they tended to decrease over time as people's bodies adapted to the medication. But
even mild to moderate can be unpleasant, right?
Absolutely. We have to acknowledge that even mild or moderate GI issues can be quite bothersome for some people and can definitely impact their day-to-day qualities of life, especially initially.
Sure. And are there less common side effects, maybe potentially more serious ones, that people need to be aware of?
Yes, there are some less common but potentially more serious things to keep in mind. These include a slightly increased risk of pancreatitis.
Inflammation of the pancreas.
That's right. Now, the absolute risk seen in the trials seems to be low, but it's still something doctors monitor for carefully.
Okay.
There have also been reports of gallbladder-related issues like the formation of gallstones, cholelithiasis.
Hmm. Anything else on that more serious end that came out of the research?
Well, there's something related to the GLP-1 component. Remember, tirzepatide hits both GIP and GLP-1 receptors.
Right.
In animal studies, specifically rodent studies involving GLP-1 receptor agonists, there was an observation of thyroid C-cell tumors.
Okay, thyroid tumors in animals. Does that mean it happens in humans?
That's the key question. And it's not definitively clear yet if this risk translates directly to humans. The data isn't conclusive there. However, as a precaution...
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. As a precautionary measure, tirzepatide has what's called a contraindication. It means it should not be used by individuals who have a personal or family history of a specific type of thyroid cancer called medullary thyroid carcinoma.
Okay, MTC.
MTC, yes.
Yeah.
Or by those with a rare genetic condition called multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2, or MEN2.
Right. That seems like a really critical safety point.
It absolutely is, and it's something your doctor will specifically ask about and assess before even considering prescribing it.
So it sounds like, and this is probably obvious, but it's definitely not something you can just decide to try on your own based on hearing about it.
Oh, absolutely not. No. Not at all. Tirzepatide is a prescription medication. Its use requires a really careful evaluation and ongoing management by a qualified healthcare professional.
They need to weigh the pros and cons for each person.
Precisely. They're the ones best positioned to look at your individual health history, your specific risk factors, monitor you closely for any potential side effects, and then ensure you get the appropriate management if any issues do pop up.
Right. Okay. That really underscores the importance of that doctor-patient conversation and making informed decisions together.
Definitely.
Now, given these significant findings, these impressive results, it's really no surprise that tirzepatide is being talked about more broadly, outside of just medical journals. I know I've heard mentions on various podcasts, for instance. Who are some of the figures discussing it, and what kind of perspectives are they bringing?
That's right. And it's understandable. Given how impactful the clinical trial results were, it makes sense that prominent voices in the sort of health and wellness space, people like Andrew Huberman, maybe Joe Rogan, Dr. Craig Conover, might have discussed tirzepatide, or at least the related GLP-1 agonists on their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that these kinds of figures are talking about it really highlights a growing public interest in these more advanced metabolic interventions. And it reflects just how significant that clinical data has been perceived.
What angles do you think they might focus on? Is it mostly the weight loss?
Well, based on their usual content, the likely focus, yes, would heavily lean towards the significant weight loss and the metabolic benefits seen with these types of medications.
Okay.
For instance, someone like Dr. Huberman, who often dives deep into physiological mechanisms.
Right, the neuroscience of it all.
Exactly. He might discuss how GLP-1 agonists, and by extension tirzepatide, interact with those complex pathways in the brain and the gut that regulate our appetite. He might connect these pharmaceutical tools to, say, lifestyle strategies for optimizing metabolic health.
Makes sense. And what about on a show like Joe Rogan's, which has a huge audience?
Yeah, on Joe Rogan's podcast, mentions of tirzepatide would probably come up in those broader conversations he often has about, you know, breakthrough treatments or advancements in areas like weight loss, anti-aging, metabolic health.
So more high-level mentions, perhaps.
Possibly. Experts appearing on his show might bring up tirzepatide as a prime example of a powerful new tool that's changing things. However, that discussion might be less focused on the nitty-gritty clinical trial data or the detailed side effect profile.
Right.
And maybe more on the overall implications or perhaps guests' anecdotal experiences, if they have any.
And someone like Dr. Conover, who works directly with patients on this stuff.
But right, Dr. Conover, with his specific focus on peptide therapies for metabolic optimization and weight management, he's likely discussed tirzepatide or similar drugs from a very practical standpoint.
From his clinical experience.
Exactly. From the perspective of applying it in his practice. He might talk about the tangible benefits he's observed in patients, but also likely emphasize the importance of, you know, individualized treatment plans and careful monitoring.
So it sounds like the general vibe, the general sentiment in these broader discussions is probably leaning towards the excitement, the potential of this medication.
That's often the tone you might encounter in more public-facing discussions, yes. But, and this is really crucial, it is absolutely vital for you, the listener, to remember that information shared on podcasts, social media, wherever,
sure,
while often informative, maybe engaging, it's really just for informational purposes.
Yeah.
It should never be seen as a substitute for personalized medical advice from your own doctor or healthcare provider.
That's a critical disclaimer.
It really is. The depth of discussion on these platforms can vary wildly. Sometimes context gets lost, and individual experiences that might get shared are just that individual. They don't represent everyone. It's so important to look at the broader scientific evidence and, most importantly, talk to a healthcare professional for guidance that's accurate and tailored specifically to you.
That's a really, really important distinction to make. Okay, so as we start to wrap up our deep dive into tirzepatide here, what would you say is the most significant takeaway, the main conclusion for our listeners?
I think the central conclusion has to be that tirzepatide really does represent a significant advancement in how we can approach managing both type 2 diabetes and obesity.
Because of that dual action.
Primarily, yes. Its unique dual action on both the GIP and the GLP-1 receptors has produced truly impressive results in these large, rigorous clinical trials. We're seeing substantial improvements in blood sugar control and significant weight loss that often goes beyond what we've seen with other available treatments.
But, and it's a big but we've discussed, it's crucial to remember it's not without potential downsides or considerations.
Exactly. That's the balance. The potential for side effects, particularly the GI ones, while often manageable for many, absolutely necessitates careful consideration and close medical supervision.
Right.
So while the excitement around tirzepatide in the wider health conversation is frankly understandable given its promise.
Yeah, you can see why people are talking about it.
You can. But it's just paramount to always ground yourself in evidence-based information and, above all, consult with a qualified healthcare professional. They can provide guidance tailored specifically to your health situation.
Okay. So for anyone listening who finds this information interesting, maybe intriguing, and perhaps wonders if tirzepatide might be relevant for them, what is the single most important next step they should take?
It's simple, really. If you are considering tirzepatide, or if you just have any questions or concerns at all about your metabolic health or your weight management journey, the single most important step you can take is to schedule a conversation with your doctor.
Talk to your own doctor.
Yes. They are the only ones who can provide you with the most accurate, up-to-date information relevant to you. They can thoroughly assess your individual health profile, your needs, your risks, and ultimately determine if tirzepatide is a safe and appropriate treatment option for you personally.
Definitely sound advice. It really makes you think, doesn't it? How advancements like tirzepatide might continue to reshape not just treatment, but maybe even our fundamental understanding and approach to metabolic health in the coming years. Something to mull over.
It certainly is. The field is moving quickly.
Well, thanks for breaking all that down for us today. And thanks to all of you for joining us for this deep dive.